I'm ready to give you the word this morning. And if you're writing a title down, you can write, Abraham's Blessing is Ours. Abraham's Blessing is Ours. You know, I can tell you, they got some old church people that don't believe that Abraham's blessings is ours. You know, most every time you get something good from the Word of God, or the promises, or something good and scriptures to stand on, someone pops up and says, what they say, that's just for the Jews. It's not for us. Not for us today. That's a lie. How you know that? Well, I stand by the scriptures. The Word of God is my guiding. You know how when you go camping and you have a compass and you try to learn how to do a compass, which way is north, south, east, and west. But the Word of God is my compass. You know, my compass is the Word, and the compass says yes or no. So I understand. That's the way I lead. I go that way, and we have to understand that Abraham's blessings are for us, not just for the Jews during that time. You know, and I want you to know that Abraham's blessings belong to each and every one of us. Well, I'm talking about the born-again believers. It's something about being born again and not being born again. Being born again, you reap the benefits. You know, you belong to Jesus. I go on Sunday, I just sit and I just want to hear the word and I can go. No, I belong to Jesus. Don't we used to sing a song a long time ago, I belong to Jesus? And for the ones that been around a while, you'll know. I belong to Jesus. And we know when we confess that, I belong to him. You don't belong to yourself. You don't belong to whatever else is that's going on in your life. No, you belong to Jesus and you follow after Jesus. How do you do that? Well, his word tells us to just forsake all the other stuff. Forsake all of that and then join and follow after Jesus. Remember all the guys that want to follow Jesus, and especially the rich man? He wanted to follow Jesus. He was going to buy his way, right? Jesus told him, sell everything, get rid of it. How many people would do that today? You know, no, I can't do that. I got my offshore account. My offshore account. I can't get rid of all of that. That's all my money. What am I going to do? Well, you don't trust Jesus then. Do you see what I'm saying? When the rubber meets the road, who are you going to follow? You going to follow Jesus? Or are you going to follow your own self? Praise the Lord. Turn to Galatians 3:14. Let's go right there first. And it says, The through Jesus Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing. Oh, did you hear that? God has blessed the Gentiles. We're all Gentiles, right? Anybody Jewish in here? Okay. God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham. So that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. Didn't I just tell you that the blessings of Abraham is ours too? And look at what God's Word tells. Let's look in verse 29 now. Verse 29 tells us, and now that you belong to Christ, that's what I was saying about being born again believers, now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You know, when you're children of someone like Abraham, but God is telling us in his word that we are what? True children of Abraham. So that means we're in a line. You got to see what I'm saying? That the children of Abraham, you are his heirs. We're all grafted into the body of Christ. Born again believer, you're grafted in. You're part of the family, and you're in line for the benefits. Who in here wants benefits? Likes benefits? Yeah, and I can tell you that right now. Everybody wants their part, right? Legally, it is yours. The kingdom, right there. Well, you hear the words. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham's belongs to who? You. And I said, you, and I'm going to say me. It belongs to me. Hallelujah. Abraham's blessing is ours. It's not like trying to balance your checkbook. God's got an overflow of everything that you can imagine. And I'm not talking about just finances. A lot of people say, blessings, that's money. Hoop-de-doo. Money ain't going to get you to heaven. I can tell you that. And a lot of blessings is health. I mean, I would love to still have the same health I had when I was a teenager. How about you? Yeah. Health is a blessing. And you're part of that blessing, according to that. But I'm just saying, look at how old Sarah was. That was a blessing to them, right? They had a child at 99, 91, 90, anything over. But they were that old. And they got blessed. And you think about it. The whole line, the lineage was blessed. You say, yeah, but you look what happened to there. Look, has anybody ever not gone through any trials and tribulation? No. We all go through that. But we still have our little paper saying, I still have, this is part of mine, heir to Abraham's blessing from God is mine too. See, I still got it wrote out, legalized by God's word. Hallelujah. But Abraham's blessing is ours, and they can't take it away. Nobody can take Abraham's blessings away from you. Nobody. Nobody. These fancy little lawyers, anybody in here a lawyer? But I can tell you that nobody can take your blessings away from you. Those doubters, those unbelievers, the joy killers. You know any of people like that? Joy killers? Boy, you're just as happy. You walk in and all of a sudden they start blasting you and here you are. Man, I didn't need to hear all that today. Today's Sunday morning. I want to get ready for the message. But you understand what I'm saying, that they got those kind of, they try to take your blessings away. And, I'm going to have joy no matter what. I don't care what's going on, that joy is going to still be with me. I'm going to have my joy. No way it says right here, you can't take my joy. I can let you have your joy, my joy, but you're not going to take it away from me. You can do whatever you want to do, but you're not going to take my joy. And Abraham's blessings is yours through who? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But we have to understand it. It's through Jesus Christ. So if you don't know Jesus, you've never gave your heart to the Lord, you don't get these blessings like we do. You ever gone somewhere and, the tickets for a Christian concert down in the front row might be 50 bucks. I'm just using those 50 bucks on the front row or right there on the stage and backstage and all that. But, somebody gives you a ticket, and it's like a $5 ticket, and it's back in the nosebleed. You ever have one of those kind of tickets? Yeah, I have. Got up there, I said, man. It's like the Lord spoke to me about, those people up in the front. It's like they're right up there, and they got the front row seats. They were blessed. And I said, God, you can bless me too. And, better than that, I started introducing them. He really blessed me up on the platform before they started their song and everything else. God moved me up on the platform, and I got to introduce them. Hallelujah. And it didn't cost me nothing. you see what I'm saying? God's blessings. He wants to bless his people. But we have to line up. Line up with what God has for us. We can't do things on our own. We can't do things saying, I'm not going to do that. God, that's okay. I'm going to do this. You see what I'm saying? If we belong to Christ, the blessings are ours. The blessings. I want blessings. I want blessings for you too. But I can't make you belong to Christ. But I can take you down a road to get to Christ. You see what I'm saying? For you to get to know him better. It's the relationship part of knowing who God really is. And a lot of people, they talk about God, they talk about Jesus, talk about the Holy Spirit, they talk about, but to grab a hold to who he really is, to know that my God loves me, as we heard this morning. And I belong to him. Do I act like a runaway child sometimes? Sure. Anybody here doesn't? Hallelujah. But you understand that we do mess up in our life. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. We're a Christian. You know any perfect Christians? I don't know any of them because I've hung out with a bunch of Christians. And you know, I said, my old denomination would come rising up and say, they call themselves a Christian? And I'm doing the same thing. You say, I can't point the finger at them because of the way they're doing, because they're just like me. You're human. We make mistakes. But we can always call upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. But Abraham's blessing was a threefold blessing. First thing God promised Abraham was that he was going to make him rich. You see what I'm saying? He's going to make him rich. You mean God is going to make me real rich? Yes, that's what I mean. That he's going to make us, and then somebody come to me and say, going to make me a millionaire? No, that ain't what I said. But people think that. They think God's going to get them rich. I don't care how much money you got. If you don't know Jesus, you're dead. You dead spiritually. I don't care how much. You know, money in the kingdom of God is nothing. How you know that? Well, anybody that has golden street, anybody in here has a golden street? No. God does. Now you're going to tell me, I got this much money, I'm going to get myself to heaven this way? That ain't going to get you to heaven. All the money in the world. I mean, like when we start talking about our tithes, God doesn't want your tithes. He wants your heart. He wants your obedience to his word. If you don't give your tithes, you're not being obedient to God. And guess what? Sin is obedient. Disobedient to God is a sin. So if you're being disobedient, you might need to go purchase some knee pads and spend a lot of time on your knees and get right with God. If you want to see, oh, you just don't know. I got blessed. I just so much money pouring in and this, that, and the other. But are you doing what the Word of God tells you to do? You can have it. You can have all you want, but you've got to line up with God, because to grab a hold to Abraham's blessings, it's ours, but we got to understand there's something to go along with that, right? Because the blessings are ours. Hallelujah. But you know, God is going to make us rich. When you say rich, everybody says, my wallet's going to be full, my little money clip is going to have plenty of money on it, I'm going to be rich. No, that ain't what he's talking about. You know, you really don't understand the definition or understand the word rich, what it really means. The dictionary said it means a full supply or abundantly provided for. Now you think about it, you know, praise God that there is a full supply in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? Money is not the indicator. Your heart to God, belonging to God, is your indicator. How do you worship Him? Do you put other things before God? You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. You know, I can remember this. I had a new car years ago when I lived in across the other side of the Mississippi River. But, you know, this car, you know, I got it and it was brand new. And I said, you know, but it wasn't getting very good gas mileage. It was, matter of fact, it was bad. And but thank God the gas was only about 30 cents a gallon. But the mileage was real bad. So I said, man, I got to do something here. So I took it to a mechanic, not a mechanic. I took it to a mechanic to look at it. And, you know, he looked at it and everything. He said, well, what we can do here, I'm going to change your spark plugs. I'm going to give your motor a complete tune-up. And I'm going to give at that time, condenser. I don't know if cars have condensers now or not. No. But it can change the condenser. He changed it all out, and he adjusted on the carburetor. But, you know, I was watching him, you know, and them days, I guess you could walk in there and you could sit there and shoot the bull with the mechanic while he's working on there. And he was kind of going over what he was doing. And I was watching him closely. And, you know, he said, "I see what's wrong here." That's what the mechanic told me. You know, and I believed him because I'd had no idea. You know, he said, "Your carburetor, it's got two adjustments, one on the inside of the carburetor and one on the outside of the carburetor." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yeah. You know, the one that was set, he had the setting on the carburetor, one of them was set to be lean." And then I asked, you know, I had no idea. I wasn't even a shade tree mechanic. I wouldn't even think about it. But he told me about it. He said, "Now your carburetor, it says, it's adjusted to lean." He said, "I'm going to adjust it over here to rich." And, when I was studying for this message, that brought it back to me, what that mechanic told me about rich. And it got everything was good. Everything was, that hum, boy. And, I put them glass packs on. It really rattled the town when I go through the main street of Clinton. But it was good. And I said, "Man, look at this thing." And I got pretty good gas mileage, a whole lot better than I was getting. But, you know, I thought about it. And, you know, it says God sets us up to where we want to be lean. We wanted that lean gas going into our carburetor. But no, God wants us to have that, that rich gas going into that carburetor. And I tell you what, it made a whole lot of difference. And, you know, God didn't promise we would have a lean supply. And you'll probably get that when you get home. But a rich supply. Praise the Lord. And we're abundantly provided for. Praise God. Because we're abundantly given to. We're supplied by God. That rich, abundant amount what we need in our life. If it's, like I said, it could be healing. It could be finances. It could be whatever. And you know, that's what we need to be looking at. We're looking at God. Because if we belong to God, we look at God. Because I don't know about you, I knew I belonged to my mom and dad. And you know, when I would do something that was wrong, I would look at them. See if they saw me. And you know, they weren't looking. But they talked to me about it. You know, I'd have to ask them. I said, "How did you know what I did?" "See, I saw you." Yeah, the parents' eyes, they everywhere. At least they should be on their kids. Because, you know, you raise your kids up until they get of age. But I can tell you that they knew everything, just like God knows everything. Because I can say mine, they watched what I did, even though they weren't looking. I could hop on my horse, or I could get on the tractor, and I could go back to the back part of the property. They still knew what I did back there. And I know they couldn't see me. Because we had some wooded area, I would go. And then, you know, they'd come back. "What are you doing going back there in that water with that horse?" And that was before drones. Yeah, you understand? And they didn't leave the house. So you understand what I'm saying? God is watching each and every one of us. He's watching those ones that should have been here or not here. You say, "What?" Yep, he's watching those that are not here. He's seeing their heart. Do they really love me? But you know, we've heard people say that to me all the time about what the Bible says. Money, you probably have to. Money is the root of all evil. Money is the root of all evil. That's a lie. I'm letting you know right now, it's a lie. The Bible doesn't say that at all, does it? For the people that know, you go to 1 Timothy 6:10. 1 Timothy 6:10. And it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kind of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." For the love of money. You know anybody that's in love with money? Yeah? You know, you could be guilty of that sin, not have a dime, and still be guilty for the love of money. You know, when we put money first. You know, it's not wrong to have money. Not wrong at all to have money. It's wrong for money to have you. You ever had anybody just kind of talk about how much money they got? How much they got this, and you got this, and I got that. And I, you know, you understand what I'm saying? That people, that money has got them. They're going to do things for money instead of for what God has for them. But, you know, like I said, you could be guilty of that, of this sin right here that we're talking about in 1 Timothy 6:10. But, you know, money's got them. And I've seen some people throughout my life. I've seen people where money has them. I mean, we've seen even people a lot years ago come through here praying for a raise, praying for a job. We pray for them, and they're gone because they got their money, and they're gone. You know, I mean, that's between them and God. You know, they didn't pull the wool over this church. They pulled the wool, tried to pull the wool over God's eyes. But, you know, if money becomes a person's master, you ever had anybody like that? Man, if I could just work some more overtime, I'd have all the money I need. No, you won't. I don't know anybody's ever had all the money they need. I can tell you I haven't. I mean, I've had a good life. But I tell you one thing, a lot of money takes you away from your family to make all that extra. You think about it. And I'm not saying anything's wrong with that. But I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of jobs take people. I've had to work out of town, and she would tell me, oh, I missed you. You were gone 2 to 3 days. But, you know, understand what I'm saying. My job took me somewhere. It took me offshore sometimes. And then I was supposed to come right back in, but you know how it is when it's foggy? Foggy, thunderstorms, whatever takes place. And it could be beautiful out there offshore, and it could be storming onshore. And where are you going to go? You got to stay there until it clears up. You understand that it things that take place in our life that we need to understand, but that's not money in charge of me. I had to go to work. You have to make a living. God wants you to work. God wants you to do those things. But you do your work unto the Lord, and he will bless you. Hallelujah. But, you know, we have to understand that you could be guilty of a sin, you know, if you don't even have a dime. And, you know, and it's not wrong to have money, as I said. It's wrong if money has you. And, you know, if money becomes a person's master, and it's wrong. A man can love money so much that he'll pick it up anywhere he goes, any way he can. I just thank God for the years that I worked. I think out of so many years, I only had to work one time on a Sunday. And it's because it was something that happened, and something went down, and we had to go. But it was one time in 14 years that I did that. But God had me in at the time in Lafayette, or he had me here. And I could tell you, I was even given the offering one time, give the offering, and then all of a sudden, that's when we had beepers at the time, and what happened was the beeper went off during the offering, and I just stepped around back and made a phone call, and you know, they told me that they're having a problem in the comm center, and I said, okay, I'll be there by 11:30, and I still got to come in, minister the message, and then go take care of that problem. And I believe God has blessed me because of that. I believe God blessed me to put him first, and then to go be able to fix the problem at where in Lafayette, where I had to go to do that, because I put him first. It wasn't like I was doing something else. But like I said, only one time we had to do that, and it's the only reason because we had to drive like to Venice and then fly offshore from there, and we had to do it then and now. Praise the Lord. But you know, if the money becomes a person's master, you think about it. I got to have my money. But I'm just saying right here, a man can love money so much that he'll pick it up anywhere he goes. Now, I'm not talking about any of you, because we see a nickel, a quarter on the ground, we'll pick it up. And we put in our little coin thing. And then when we go somewhere, they'll say, it's $3.25. Ha, just found that 25 cents. Here you go, 25 cents, and here's $3. Or, you know, I'm not saying that's what, I'm looking for money. No, I'm saying everything that comes up, you're thinking about money, grabbing hold to money. And if you, like I said, they'll do anything. They'll be picking up money. But you can even cut their hands off, and they'll start picking it up with their toes. Now, I'm talking kind of spiritually almost here. That, that's how hungry they are, wanting money. And, cut their toes off, they'll pick it up with their teeth. You pull their teeth out, they're going to gum it to pick up money. You see what I'm saying? To get money, they'll do anything, because the money is a master over their life. And we got to understand that we have the blessings of Abraham. We have those blessings. So we don't have to eat under the table for the crumbs, because we're God's children. If you're a born-again believer, a lot of people say, yeah, I'm born again. But they don't act it. What's going on? God has got to change them. God has got to work on them. Why is that? Because they're not being obedient to God's word. They're not serving God like they should. But you see what I'm saying about the blessings of Abraham. Don't let people think just because you're serving God and you got a big bass boat in your yard, you've got a big four-wheeler in your yard. You see that they're thinking that, especially being a Christian and you're serving God and giving your tithes, people are going to think, well, he's got this going. He likes all these things. He likes that. No, God wants to bless his people. You bless God, God's blessing you. You bless God, God's going to give to you. How do you know that? Because he's done it for me. He's probably done it for some of you in here. I can remember, we were writing out a tithe check, and I said, man, it's kind of weak this month. What are we going to do? Well, we're going to give our tithes. We'll just not go out and eat that day. Oh, we won't do it. We're going to give our tithes to God. He deserves first on everything that we give. We give our tithes out. And, I don't think I may not do it right here because I don't get it out in time, but I'll put it in when I get home. And I'll just say, we've never missed the time to put something in the offering. It may not be our regular offering check, but it will be something in there. And, I'll put it in there. I'll put it in and say, I'm putting this in here, Lord, and I'm giving it with a cheerful heart. I'm praying for the people of Hope Campus. This is going, and I want their lives to be living for you. I want them to be prosperous. I want them to live, have health in their body. I want them to walk in divine health. What do you mean? I'm giving tithes for that, an offering for that. And I do that. Is it much? No, it ain't much, but it's what I can, and I believe the Spirit of God. Because we talk about it. What's the Spirit of God telling you we need to give? Do we do 10%? No. We do above it. Oh, and I'm retired, but I'm still going to give my tithes and offerings, and I'm knowing that I am blessed because why? I have Abraham's blessing. So my blessings are when I give to God, God gives back. And there's plenty in here probably knows that when they've given something, God has given them back. And that's something to give a praise report, a testimony about, that you're doing these things for God, and nobody else knows what you've done. Nobody knows. Only people that know is, I guess you'd say, the secretary that's putting it into the computer, and you at the end of the year when you see your statement, because it's sealed. And if you don't get a letter, so you don't know how much you've given for the year. So what are you saying? I'm just saying that God blesses his people, because through Abraham, we have the same blessings as Abraham had. And Abraham was blessed, wasn't he? He was blessed. But you understand what I'm saying? God wants to bless him. And he blessed him through him to us. And that, in his company, you say, well, I ain't seen my blessing yet. Well, you breathing. Are you here, you got pain in your body? Well, you got, is it major pain or what kind of pain you got? God wants to take it away from you. He don't want you to have pain in your body. Hallelujah. But you understand what I'm saying, that God loves us. God wants to get blessings to us. But a lot of times we cut the valve, we shut the door, I don't want to follow what he says. I want all the money. Then the money has you. You see what I'm saying? We've got the blessings, so we need to receive the blessings that God has for us according to his word. Did you get anything out of this today?